KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have clear to partly cloudy skies, 16 degrees, and looking forward to be sunny today with a high of 34. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. In local news, the Atlantic Community School District's Board of Education Monday night approved the proposed 2014-2015 certified budget, which increases the amount of money the district receives from property taxes by 54 cents per $1,000 assessed valuation over the published $14.47 per $1,000. The levy is now at $14.91. Prior to a vote on approving the budget, Atlantic Middle School student advocate Pam Russell asked the board not to cut the student advocate position because there would be services, she said, that would not be met in a timely manner or on a consistent basis.
I do understand that there have to be cuts, and I totally get that. Ron tries to keep me to understand budgeting all the time, but I do also want you guys to consider the fact that the service impacts students a lot, even at the present as well as their future, when we're talking about dropout prevention at the middle school.
Russell even offered to have her pay cut in order to save the position in order to benefit the students.
Yes, I like the job, but the position is an important service for the kids. And by the way, I already know a high school kid my son's age dropping out, he's already dropped out. That kind of thing is just heartbreaking because they just always say the same thing, I'm going to get my GED. And you think, I wonder if you are.
During action on the budget, Superintendent Mike Amstein reiterated the fact that there are only three places in the budget the board really has any wiggle room as far as adjustments are concerned. One is the SBRC cash reserve, another is the cash reserve levy, and the last is the management fund.
Based on what we believe would be appropriate for the district as far as for the cash reserve levy to cover the juvenile homes assessment, which is money that the board never receives. It's basically reduced out of your state aid before you actually get it anyways, in the sum of around $240,000 plus the special ed deficit from the previous year. We're proposing $964,771 for the SBR cash reserve levy. Cash reserve levy for the general fund at $600,000 and $350,000 levy for the management fund. Total levy of $14.91.
KJAN News, time is 8:03.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane.
Well, a public hearing will be held this morning in Greenfield with regard to the Southern Hills Mental Health Management Plan. The hearing kicks off a regularly scheduled meeting of the Adair County Board of Supervisors. The meeting will also feature discussion with regard to a watershed project from Alan Lang and Nancy Antisdell. And County Engineer Nick Hoffman will present documents for the board to sign with regard to the DOT Fiscal Year 2015 Budget Program, right-of-way contracts, and he'll also have his normal report on the Secondary Roads Department maintenance and activities. The meeting gets underway at 9 o'clock at the Adair County Board of Supervisors room in the courthouse in Greenfield. Well, officials in Iowa report the Farmers Electric Cooperative, based in Greenfield and serving parts of six southwest Iowa counties, including Adair, Audubon, Cass, Guthrie, Madison, and Union, has received funding for the retrofitting of 123.4 miles of overhead electrical lines. The project is valued at more than $3 million. 75% of the eligible cost is paid for by FEMA. 10% is paid by the state, and the remaining 15% is paid through the sub-applicant, those being local governments, communities, tribal governments, and certain eligible nonprofits. The hazard mitigation projects are funded to reduce or prevent damage from future disasters. Federal funding is made available after each presidential disaster declaration through the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program. Iowa Homeland Security and Emergency Management serves as the coordination point between the entities applying for assistance and FEMA. And IHSEM staff are involved from the beginning to end of that process, from guiding applicants through the application to completing the final paperwork. Two men from Atlantic were arrested recently on alcohol and/or drug charges. On Sunday, 50-year-old Milton Milligan was charged with second offense OWI, possession of drug paraphernalia, interference with official acts, and driving while revoked. And last Friday, Atlantic police officers arrested 23-year-old Noren Bishop on 5 counts of contributing to the delinquency of a minor and supplying alcohol to minors. Both men were booked into the Cass County Jail. An Atlantic man was taken to the hospital after the wheelchair he was in was struck by a car Saturday morning at 4th and Chestnut Streets. According to Atlantic Police, Mark Johnson was transported by private vehicle to the Cass County Hospital after the wheelchair he was in was hit while in a crosswalk. The accident happened at around 9 a.m. Saturday after Donis Christensen of Atlantic stopped at the traffic light and then proceeded to turn right on red. Johnson suffered cuts to his leg during the accident. His wheelchair sustained about $800 damage. Christensen's car sustained $100 damage. Police cited her for failure to yield to a pedestrian within an intersection. A truck driver from Crawford County escaped serious injury after the semi he was driving dropped off the shoulder of Interstate 80 in Pottawatomie County and rolled onto its side Sunday. The accident happened as 45-year-old Michael Melvin Wilkin of Westside was being pulled over by an Iowa DOT enforcement officer Sunday evening on I-80 westbound near the 45-mile marker. Wilkin refused medical treatment at the scene. The trailer he was pulling was full of hogs. There was no word on any injuries to those animals. One person was transported to the hospital by helicopter following a motorcycle versus deer accident that occurred back on March the 14th. In information that was just released Monday by the Mills County Sheriff's Office, authorities said Sean Peacock of Glenwood was traveling north on 221st Street at the intersection with Ashton Road when the 2004 Harley cycle he was riding collided with a deer that had entered the road. After the collision, the cycle entered the east ditch and slid for several feet before hitting a tree and coming to rest. Peacock was ejected from the machine and came to rest in a tree line. The accident happened at around 9:07 p.m. on March the 14th. Peacock was transported to an undisclosed hospital by Lifelight helicopter. No other information was released. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office on Monday released a report on some recent arrests. Officials said on March the 16th, 25-year-old Jared Allen Meyer of Council Bluffs was arrested on OWI third offense, interference with official acts, and carrying a weapon charges. On March the 13th, 21-year-old Randy Marie Jordan of Sydney was arrested for possession of drug paraphernalia. And that same day, 23-year-old Thomas Scott Ware of Thurman was arrested for theft in the second degree, vandalism in the fourth degree, and trespassing. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, the search for Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 has narrowed, but the search area is still about the size of Alaska. A new analysis of satellite data confirmed the plane had crashed at a remote part of the southern Indian Ocean, killing all 239 on board. Gale force winds and heavy swells forced a halt to the search for possible debris from the plane today, but Australia says improved weather should allow the hunt to resume tomorrow. A standoff between Taliban insurgents and security forces at an election office on the edge of Kabul is over. The assault began when two suicide bombers detonated their explosives outside the office while gunmen stormed into the building, trapping dozens of employees inside. The Interior Ministry says a candidate for a seat on the provincial council was killed, along with an election worker and two policemen. All five insurgents were also killed. The Navy says a sailor was fatally shot and the lone suspect killed by security aboard a guided missile destroyer docked at the world's largest naval base last night. A spokesman at the naval station in Norfolk, Virginia, said the suspect was a civilian who was authorized to be on the base. She couldn't say whether the man had permission to be on the destroyer, the USS Mayan. She would not describe any other circumstances of the shooting either. News time is 8:10.
I told you this house was too good to be true. We haven't even been here a month, and the furnace won't start, the toilet keeps backing up, and the bathtub has a constant drip.
I told you I will fix everything this weekend.
No. That's what you said last weekend before the toilet broke. And remember the last time you tried to fix the furnace? Yeah, the fire department had to come and we were the laughing stock of the whole town. Seriously, if you don't call Bob today, I'm going to stay with my parents.
Hi, this is Bob at Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, your local train dealer in Fontenelle. Let me help you keep the fire burning in your marriage and not in your basement by completing all those honey-do lists for you. No job is too big or small when it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing. Just call me at 1-877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In the funeral announcements, Milo Sorensen, age 87, of Guthrie Center, died Saturday at the New Homestead in Guthrie Center. Memorial services for Milo Sorensen will be today at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center for the Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center, in charge of arrangements. G. Lyle Wittrup, age 89, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Cass County Hospital. Memorial services for Lyle Wittrup will be today at 11 o'clock in the chapel at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Sylvia Pauline Gazer, age 91, of Westphalia, died Friday at her home. A massive Christian burial service for Sylvia Gazer will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at St. Boniface Catholic Church in Westphalia. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has arrangements. Ralph Jorgensen, age 79, of Kimbleton, died Thursday at the Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for Ralph Jorgensen will be tomorrow at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Kimbleton. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Minnie Mae Montang, age 84, of Council Bluffs, died Saturday. Funeral services for Minnie Montang will be on Wednesday at 10:30 at the Broadway United Methodist Church in Council Bluffs. The Cutler, O'Neill, Myron Woodring Funeral and Cremation Service of Council Bluffs is in charge of arrangements. Rodney Dortland Schuler, age 56, of Atlantic, died Saturday at his home. Funeral services for Rod Schuler will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the First Church of Christ in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Anna Margaret Stanley, age 94, of Atlantic, died Thursday at CCMH. Funeral services for Anna Stanley will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Phyllis Ely, age 72, of Lyman, died Thursday at CCMH. A funeral service for Phyllis Ely will be on Thursday at 11 a.m. at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Doris Ditto, age 73, of Audubon, died Sunday at the Audubon County Hospital. Funeral services for Doris Ditto will be Thursday at 2 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Mary Ann Hartman Coughlin, age 81, of Elliott, died Saturday at the Montgomery County Memorial Hospital. A massive Christian burial service for Mary Ann Coughlin will be Friday at 10 o'clock at Our Lady of Grace Catholic Church in Griswold. The Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Darlene Arnold, age 83, of Harlan, died Sunday at Murtu Medical Center. Funeral services for Darlene Arnold will be on Friday at 2 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Mary Selena Byers, age 82, of Atlantic, died Saturday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Mary Byers will be this Saturday at 10:30 at St. Timothy's Catholic Church south of Cumberland. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Bruce Yarger, age 87, of Atlantic, died Sunday. Funeral services for Bruce Yarger will be Saturday at 10:30 at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Harriet Gushorn, age 92, of Urbandale, died March the 16th. Graveside services for Harriet Gushorn will be held on Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Shelby Cemetery. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. And Bill Harry, age 89, of Orient, died Sunday in Mesa, Arizona. Funeral services for Bill Harry will be next Monday at 1:30 at the Orient United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. The news and funeral announcements were brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.